desire and interest in your prayers and your attention for a little while this afternoon. I maybe would describe myself as a man with emotions, but maybe not a lot of, outward exhibition of, I'm not so demonstrative, but I feel like that I have real deep-seated feelings and passions. And I would like for us to consider a few thoughts. I was thinking about the service this afternoon and thinking, Lord, this time must be effectual. It must be beneficial to us. So I thought of something that I've heard repeated at a function that some of you are familiar with, and desire for you to bear with me here just a moment to give a little illustration. We are in the Midwest, and we're in very rural America here, and a very prevalent organization in our school system is something we call FFA, Future Farmers of America. And when they begin their meeting, they will say, FFA members, why are we here? And they take their little gavel and hit the desk three times, and then they all repeat in unison, those that are members of the FFA, to practice brotherhood, honor agriculture opportunities and responsibilities, and develop those qualities of leadership which a FFA member should possess. So I'd like to ask you this afternoon, why are we here? Not just at camp meeting, but why are we here right now? So I have a little something that I'm going to say, and if you want to think about it and come up with something else, that's fine. But this is what came to my mind. I'm here today to practice brotherhood, to honor the opportunities to be a new creature, and to honor a Savior who died for me, and to develop those qualities that will make us acceptable to the God of creation. That's why I'm here this afternoon. So as we consider why I'm here, this part of honoring the opportunity that I have to be a new creature in Christ Jesus includes looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'd like to turn with that to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and notice the first three verses here. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm thankful for those already in this meeting that has made the commitment that it's different now, and I'm going to live for God. From this day forward, I'm going to be committed to His cause and to His purpose. The second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd like for us to really consider what it meant to Him and what it means to us today for Him to endure the cross. And despising are looking on with inconsideration the shame that he was a... How do I say this where it's easily understood? He was falsely accused. He was falsely accused. And how many of us would fellowship being executed under a false accusation? But Jesus was executed under a false accusation. But he despised the very shame of that. Wouldn't that be disgraceful to be executed because of from a false accusation? But we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. He didn't esteem it important that he was being crucified out of false accusations. And it says he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now there's a lot of times we feel wearied and faint because of our surroundings and our circumstances and maybe conditions that's present in our life. And I'm no different than anyone else. Those things are intimidating to me too. But I'm thinking today of how that Jesus looked beyond what was standing between him and this joy that we can experience today. He looked beyond what was standing in the middle. And he kept his eyes on that. I've shared some of this with the congregation back around Easter time in our ordinance service there. And so if you're here, bear with me. But I think about the things that you and I might endure for the joy that's set before us. I think of the circumstances that surrounded each one of us coming into this life. And I'm so thankful that for my mother, I'm so thankful that she brought me into this world. But you know, there's difficulties there. And there is difficulties in other areas. We just don't fully know how to sometimes appreciate the value of something if we haven't been there and seen what it cost and seen what it took to produce the end result. I kind of simple sometimes in my illustrations, so bear with us here. I've had some problems with ingrown toenails. Y'all ever had an ingrown toenail? And I'm going to tell you, that's uncomfortable. And the more that it increases, the worse it is. And I've had some times that you start limping and you can't hardly function and you can't kick a ball when you're young and it's hard to climb stairs and you just got to be careful what you do. It just almost puts you down. It hurts so bad. Well, I don't want anybody else to touch it. Then you don't either. But I've had some times in my life that I knew the only way to relief was to dig that thing out. And when you grit your teeth and dig that thing out, there's a tremendous relief. It's a tremendous comfort and joy to have yourself relieved of that discomfort. And that's such a small, insignificant illustration. But Jesus was looking down on you and I. He seen the discomfort, the dysfunction in humanity, I look around in our world today, and I see so many souls that's limping and struggling along in their life, not realizing the potential and the joy that's available for them. But every one of us could be in that place. Every one of us could be in a place of unsaved, unforgiven, and be in a place where the only thing we knew how to do in life was limp along and not really be able to experience the joy and the freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus. And you know, I want us to get a picture this afternoon somehow, in my feeble ability here, of how that Jesus seen the tremendous blessing the plan of salvation would be to mankind, and realizing that he was going to have to face the most gruesome type of death that anybody would ever have to face. And yet, because he loved us, he was willing to do that for you and I. It wasn't because there was peace and safety and comfort. It wasn't because he dominated the scene and because everything just fell into place that was easy for him. No, that's not it. In fact, it was the total opposite. Everything went against him. Everything caused him to... He felt that. Do you remember the struggles that he had there in the garden? I might go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. I'll read some of that. This was after the Last Supper that he had with the disciples, but in Matthew chapter 26, we'll begin reading maybe in verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." And why was he sorrowful and heavy? Because he knew what the immediate future held. Because he realized the consequences of the sin of mankind. And he began to be, it says, exceeding sorrowful. He says, "Then said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." So some of his closest companions, he turned to them and he said, Just tarry with me here and watch with me. Just be here with... I'm feeling the pressure, knowing what's right around the corner. I'm feeling this oppressive... I know, as a man, the sensations. I believe he felt the same things we would feel if we were crucified like he was. I believe he felt the nails. I believe he felt the tearing. I believe he felt the shortness of breath and all of those things. And he asked his closest companions, "Just tarry with me and watch with me. Just be near me. Support me emotionally." You know how important it is to us when we're in tests and temptations for some of our family to be right there with us. Maybe they can't do anything for us, but just be there. You know how comforting that is. It's helpful for them to be there. Maybe just sit close to us and maybe hold our hands and maybe they say every once in a while, "We're praying for you." All of those things are something we depend on in times of distress. And here Jesus asked his closest companion, just tarry with me and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Fell down under the burden. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with life's problems and what seemed like was looming in the future that your strength just seemed to fail you? I've had a few of those times in my life, and it's like, "Lord, I just don't hardly know how I can go on. I feel weak and frail and fragile." But Jesus went a little further and fell on his face, and he began to pray, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Oh, that's beautiful words, isn't it? But notice what happened He says he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. Asleep. The ones that he was his closest companions. Do you know what it feels like to have somebody that you've been dependent on to let you down? And maybe they said they would. Maybe they had good intentions. And when you come back to try to get some reinforcement from them, you find that they've got you tuned out. They're paying attention to something else. They're not really there for you. Peter and James and John, we perceive here, they just went to sleep. Watch, he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, Jesus felt that weakness in his flesh too, I believe. I don't feel like he felt like, I can handle this, bring it on. I don't believe he felt that way. I believe he felt overpowered and overwhelmed with this responsibility. The whole plan of salvation was hinging on this, you see. He felt overwhelmed with that responsibility and the realization of what it was going to cost. He went again, away again, the second time and prayed. And when he come back, what did he find? He found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. I've had some of those times myself. It's like I can't hardly wake up. Peter and his two fellow disciples, they just were so groggy. They didn't realize what was happening. You know, if your close companions go to sleep on you twice, don't you know you're feeling alone by then? I mean, once maybe, but twice. And you've come back and you've tried to ask, Lord, can't you watch with me? So it says in the 44th verse, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. You ever prayed for three times for something? Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I need help. Lord, give me direction. Give me strength. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. When I read those words, I believe the tone in Jesus' voice was a little different. The other two times when he came to his disciples, he was wanting somebody that to really support him and really try to sustain him during this crucial time. And they abandoned him, but he came to the place. He was willing to do it anyway. Even if his closest companions were not there to reinforce him, to just stay awake. That's all he asked, for them to stay awake and watch with him. And they couldn't do it. You know, for us to be successful in our walk with the Lord, we're going to have to come to the place that whether others go with us or not, we're going to be true to the Lord. Jesus came to that place. And he not only came to that place, but he stuck with it. He had the fortitude. God had given him the strength that he stayed with it and he seen it through. He went to the cross. He suffered for you and for me so we could be saved. You know, I respect those that have given so much of their lives for my temporal welfare. And I've seen those that have put every bit of strength and energy they had into temporal things. And I've observed those that have poured themselves out for the Lord. But they don't even come close to what Jesus did for us. He came and faced this horrible obstacle of the shame of being falsely accused. And you know, the people that were accusing him and requiring him to be hung on the cross, they knew it was all a hoax. They knew that they were falsely accusing him. They knew all of that. Jesus knew it. the Romans basically were just following through with these cruel demands. Life wasn't real valuable to them, and they didn't really comprehend the significance of what was happening. But may we today realize, why are we here today? What am I doing here? Why would I come and spend this part of my afternoon in a setting like, why am I here? I'm here to practice brotherhood. I'm here to honor the opportunities that we have to be a new creature. We've got some new creatures here today that weren't here last year. We've heard about some others. New, they're different now. I've come here to honor that. I've came here to develop the qualities that will make me acceptable in the eyes of the God of creation. I want us to honor today the great sacrifice that Jesus made where you can be saved. You know, it's such an incredible asset for us to know that all we have to do when the Lord deals with us is humble ourselves and repent. Oh, we've come to the point today, I fear so much, that we come to the place we don't recognize how valuable this is. How incredibly expensive it was where we could be saved and be redeemed and be restored into fellowship with the God that created us in the beginning. If Jesus hadn't have come to the place that he was willing to go through, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt like mad. It's going to be the worst thing you ever experienced that he ever experienced. But he did it so you can be saved and so I can be saved. And I want to honor that today. In John, the 13th chapter, we have the account of the washing of feet. And we have already participated in that. Some people look on that as unnecessary and ridiculous. But you know, I'd like to just read this account for us today. It says, "Now the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" This was one of those that was going to watch with him a little later on. We've already read that. "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter realized that Jesus was offering him something that included him in a fellowship that he didn't want to be excluded from. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be excluded from the fellowship of my Lord and Savior. I want to be there with him. Lord, if it takes me washing someone else's feet, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to submit myself, let someone wash my feet. Lord, help me to practice brotherhood. Help me to know how to cultivate that. And I appreciate each one that's come here today and have been willing to wash one another's feet. Peter obviously submitted to that, and the recommendation, the counsel, the instruction that Jesus gave for us, he says in the 15th verse, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You know, I've been coming to camp meeting all my life. Been worshiping with the saints all my life. And haven't always understood the value and the significance of this service. But I've never went away feeling like I'd wasted my time. I've always left from this setting feeling a solemnity in my soul and in my spirit, realizing the responsibility that I have to be an example of the believers and to be true to the cause. So I trust that the Lord will help us as we go from this place to feel that also. We've all participated in this, so we'd like to look at the other major event that happened there at the Last Supper. I don't know how many times Jesus had observed this with his disciples. Possibly this wasn't the only time, but we look on it as the Last Supper. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, we'll read a couple verses here. The Last Supper was in honor of God's deliverance from Egypt. And it was the culmination of that part of the Passover, when they prepared the lamb and the unleavened bread. They were following the instructions that God had given them. And if you read over there in Deuteronomy, it wasn't an optional thing. It was a commandment that they observed this. And if there was some extenuating circumstances where they couldn't be there to be part of this Passover commemoration, they were given a chance the following month to do this. We don't hold that on people today, that they must participate in this service. But I'm going to tell you, they're missing out on something. They're missing out on a real blessing. And, you know, we have an obligation, as was mentioned earlier today, to examine ourselves and make sure that we're worthy of commemorating this. We're not just commemorating the deliverance from Egypt, but we're commemorating and honoring the plan of salvation that can make us a new creature, celebrating a deliverance from the bondage of sin. So we notice here that after the supper was ended, maybe we'll begin here. Fifteenth verse, 22nd chapter of Luke. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There's a lot of incredibly false things that are taught about these functions right here. But I want you to know that we are, as we partake of this unleavened bread was not filled with anything that would cause it to inflate itself. It was just the wholesome kernels of grain. And as we partake of that, I want us to think about the life that Jesus lived. Jesus lived here, giving us an example that we should follow. And he did that. He followed through all the way for us so that we could be redeemed. So this bread that we're going to partake of is just something for us to stop and reflect of the great price that Jesus paid. It's a representative. It's something to help us stop amid all of the churning and turmoil of life and remember this plan of salvation has an incredible value to it. There is no way we can overestimate the value of the plan of salvation. And this juice that we partake of, we want it to be as 100% as it possibly can, because the blood of Christ that was shed for us was totally pure. There was no defilement. He was tempted, the Scripture tells us, in all points, yet without sin. So may, as we partake of this, let's ask the Lord to help us to reflect on the price that He paid and on the realization that when Jesus was facing the actual time that He knew His suffering, His anguish was going to begin. He embraced it. And He told His disciples, "Up, let us be going." And may the Lord help us to face the world around us with courage that Jesus faced His last trial on this earth. So He took this bread. That's what the Scripture says that Jesus did. He took the bread and He broke it. And that body that was broken for you and I, He was broken to as a sacrifice. I don't like the idea of being sacrificed needlessly myself, and Jesus struggled with that. He struggled a little bit, but he said that He came to the place that He didn't consider that, didn't let it deter Him. So He broke this and gave thanks. So maybe we can offer thanks for this body that was broken for us. Lord Jesus, as we come to You today, I feel so incapable of knowing how to establish the value of the plan of salvation. I can't. I don't have any way to really do it. But Lord, some way would You imprint it in our hearts and our minds today. Help us, Lord, to realize the tremendous value. Help us recognize the purpose and the commitment that You had to follow through with this plan of salvation for us. We ask Your blessings on each one here. We ask that You would help us to go from this place realizing that there's a reason that we're here. And we want to honor this plan of salvation that makes us a new creature. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says He took the cup. And He prayed over that too. Lord, we don't like to lose blood ourselves. We don't like to see other people lose their life through losing blood. But we're so thankful that You shed Your blood for us. Lord, thank You so much for the supreme sacrifice that You paid. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be a new creature. Oh, dear God, help us to consider what You went through. Help us, Lord, to keep that in our hearts and minds as we go from this place. Lord, help it to be something that deters us away from the path of the wicked one, and help it to keep us in our commitment to You. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.